The state of Connecticut is joining New York and the city of Boston in banning official travel to North Carolina. It's part of the response to a new state law in North Carolina that requires people to use restrooms that correspond with their gender at birth rather than their current gender identity. The North Carolina law also bans cities and towns from adopting their own anti-discrimination laws. Here in Massachusetts, legislation that would do the opposite by assuring transgender people access to restrooms and other accommodations remains bottled up in a legislative committee on Beacon Hill. Despite broad support for the bill, there are only 4 months left in the legislative session, and its future remains in question. WBUR's Steve Brown reports.
The Transgender Public Accommodations Bill picks up where a previous law left off almost 4.5 years ago. That law, enthusiastically signed by then-Governor Deval Patrick, extended to transgender people protections against discrimination in the areas of housing and employment. A controversial provision to include public accommodations, meaning restaurants, lodging, gender-segregated changing, and restrooms, was taken out of the 2011 bill to ensure passage of the broader legislation, with the intent to take up public accommodations in another session. Supporters say now is the time.
I have confidence that the legislature will pass this bill.
Carly Burton is with Freedom Massachusetts, the group behind the legislation.
We have great support both from the Speaker and in the House, as well as from the Senate President and in the Senate. We also have a wide variety of businesses and unions and all sorts of other entities, women's groups, domestic violence prevention groups that have come out in support of this bill.
And no one argues if the vote on the bill were to be taken today, it would have more than enough to pass. The lingering question in 2016 that did not exist in 2011, will the governor sign it into law? Unlike his predecessor, Governor Charlie Baker won't say.
As I said before, we certainly support non-discrimination in Massachusetts for anybody, but the details on this one are important, and I know the legislature's been working on it, and we'll look forward to seeing what they produce.
The governor's reluctance to say what he ultimately will do is frustrating the bill's supporters. Joe LeMay of Melrose is the father of a 6-year-old transgender boy.
It's one thing if Charlie Baker wants to be a laggard on civil rights, but how dare he put Massachusetts in a position to be the laggard in civil rights when we've, for our whole history, have been the leader in civil rights, but not on this issue. It just doesn't make sense.
Baker, who as a candidate in his failed bid for governor in 2010 said he would veto similar legislation, has been taking the time to study the issue. Last fall, he met with members of the transgender community, including 14-year-old Nicole Talbot of Grafton.
There were several other people there, and I think we got our stories across to him. He still stayed very neutral on this issue, but we said, oh, we hope you're considering the bill, and he said, you wouldn't be here if I wasn't considering it. It was still a very neutral statement, but it wasn't a negative, but it wasn't a positive either.
Opponents of the legislation have been making their case as well in the hopes that the bill will remain stuck in committee. Jonathan Alexander is legal counsel for the Massachusetts Family Institute.
The legislator has a responsibility to protect the rights and privacy of women and children in public restrooms, showers, and locker rooms. So that's paramount. It's their responsibility. And second, we've been here before. In 2011, when the transgender bill was passed, the legislator then specifically removed public accommodations, understanding that that was an area that, you know, would create a safe situation for the citizens here in Massachusetts.
Efforts to bring the bill to a vote earlier in the session were unsuccessful, and with Governor Baker's position on the bill still publicly unknown, Speaker Robert DeLeo is holding off bringing up the bill until he is certain he would have the 2/3 vote needed to override a veto, should the governor issue one. Former state representative and Beacon Hill observer Susan Tracy says Baker is likely staying noncommittal so as not to aggravate the conservative Republican base that opposes the legislation.
The governor has taken probably some positions that have alienated that base, whether it's trying to take over the party, which we've read about, or bringing some Democrats into his administration, or working closely with the legislature. So I'm sure that there are members of the conservative Republican base who are not happy with him. And perhaps he sees this as an issue where he is appealing to or appeasing that base.
Some incumbent legislators in competitive swing districts are also concerned about a potential challenge from a conservative opponent, and that may be keeping DeLeo from the 107 votes he would need to override any veto. Again, Susan Tracy.
If you're that person who's in a district, I think probably your biggest fear is that someone will take one vote that you've made out of the many that you've made or all of the issues that you've worked on and really actively try to run a campaign against you on that vote.
The legislature's Judiciary Committee has until May 2nd to report out the bill, and that just happens to be the day before nomination signatures must be turned in for candidates running for the legislature. That means Democratic House incumbents from districts that lean conservative will know if they will have opposition in November. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Steve Brown at the State House.